following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Friday, September 29th. It is the last Friday of September of 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everyone tonight to the broadcast. Listen, if you're new and this is your first time joining us, of course, let us know in the comment section below that where you are joining us from. If you're outside of America, we welcome you. If you're inside of America, we welcome you. We just love to hear from you and acknowledge that you're on here onto the broadcast. Of course, we want to welcome all of our Apple and Spotify listeners, those who will be listening to the podcast via the audio versions of this, and maybe even on YouTube. Their YouTube now has designated podcast segments. So again, we want to welcome you all as well. If you don't have our free app, want to encourage you to download it today. It is absolutely free. You can pick it up today at your local Apple or Android store. If you're listening by Spotify or Apple or by podcast platforms, you just go into your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. It'll be the ETH acronym there with End Time Headlines under it with the four blood moons and the solar eclipse in the middle of it. Download our free app. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. All right, has everyone noticed what's going on in the cities and streets of America lately? It's almost as if somebody took the level of lawlessness, the level of moral decline and depravity and all these things and just turned up the notch. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Things are happening in the streets of America that I believe, listen to me, if they continue to persist, there's a lot of factors that are playing into this. And as these dominoes keep falling, all this is going to do is what's going to eventually happen. I pray it does not, but we need to be prepared for in the event that this happens. What's happening in the streets of America right now, if it continues and it persists and it keeps spiraling out of control, it's going to come right to our front doors. All right, let me give you some verses of scripture, kind of give a little bit of a scriptural foundation for where I'm going tonight and our talking point. And we're going to really dig into this tonight. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul warned that in the last days, I don't have a shadow of a doubt that we are not living in the end times. We are absolutely living in the end times. If you don't see that, I don't know how much more we can do to convince you of that. He says, in the last days, there will be perilous times. We've talked about this. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said that lawlessness will abound. It will cause the love of many to wax cold. We know, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that lawlessness will persist and continue until its fullness has been reached. And when that fullness of transgression is reached, we talked about this earlier this week, I believe, on our Monday podcast, maybe, or last week. When that fullness of transgression is reached, it will be the catalyst that brings forth the revealing of the Antichrist, or in 2 Thessalonians, Paul addressed him as the man of perdition, or the son of perdition, rather. Again, perilous, meaning dangerous, treacherous, and violent. Dangerous, treacherous, and violent. And I believe right now, when you look up across the spectrum of America, we are seeing a concoction of events that is like a powder keg ready to explode. People are angry. People have no patience. People are on edge. People are committing acts of violence with no remorse, no repentance, and no regard for human life. When we talk about lawlessness, this, by definition, it's a state or a condition in which there is a lack of adherence to established laws and regulations within a society or a specific area. Tell me we're not in that, friends. We are absolutely witnessing before our eyes the complete and utter breakdown of society. There is a breakdown of all kinds of spectrums, the breakdown of a legal authority within legal systems that are no longer unable, they're no longer able, excuse me, to effectively enforce rules, regulations. Police have been run off by societies, by politicians. There's complete social disorder and chaos. There's no longer reverence or adhering to any kind of laws or regulations. We are seeing the complete and utter breakdown of social norm as we know it. This is a story that recently came out. This was from FoxNews.com. We're going to show you some stuff, and I'm going to show you to prove my point that we are seeing a level of lawlessness that's just continuing to get worse and wax worse and worse.
Their police in Las Vegas search for information in a hit and run crash that left a retired police chief dead, lying on the side of the road. This as disturbing video surfaces showing the chilling moments. The driver appears to intentionally hit Andreas Probst as he was riding his bicycle on a Las Vegas street last month. Police say two people can be heard in the video laughing as their car approached Probst. The driver asked, "Ready?" before crashing into the bicyclist. The impact sent Probst flying up the windshield and then hitting the concrete below. The driver sped away. Probst later died at the hospital. And now we're learning that the driver is under arrest. Joining us now with more is News Nation correspondent Elizabeth Pran. Elizabeth, how did they find out who did this and when did they arrest him?
Yeah, Elizabeth, this is an unbelievable story. And in fact, the developments really just in the last hour or two. The 17-year-old will now be charged as an adult. Our local affiliate there, KLAS, initially said that this particular individual has been in and out of the juvenile system. But in the state of Nevada, if you are 16 or 17 years old and you are charged with murder, you are automatically upgraded to the adult system.
Ready? Yeah.
Laughing, encouraging, and recording. Allegedly, two young men in this stolen car drove recklessly down a Las Vegas street during an early morning in August. You can see in this video, shot by the passenger, the two hit at least one other vehicle before the car slows down to intentionally swerve into the bike lane, honk, and then slam into Andreas Probst. The two laugh while you can hear the car accelerate, leaving the victim on a busy highway. A father, a husband, a dedicated public servant, serving more than 30 years in California law enforcement. He was just 3 miles from home. His wife and daughter saw an automated alert from his Apple iWatch that he may have fallen.
He was honestly like a light of sun or a ray of sunshine that just spread through your life. He was truly one of the best, and he will be deeply, deeply missed.
Police want to talk to the passenger. He taunts, even encourages a 17-year-old driver, seen here with the face covering, who is now behind bars, charged with murder. The passenger may also see time behind bars.
He can be heard on that tape. He's definitely encouraging, if not enticing. Nevada does have a solicitation statute, but can it be really used in this situation? Usually that's when you're enticing somebody to commit a crime for you. Could that be taken this broadly? I think it's possible.
Coffendoffer went on to say the trend of posting crimes online has spiked. Law enforcement may have the tools they can use as evidence, but it's also a tool for the aggressor.
This braggadocious attitude of airing their maldeeds, it's really new. And it's going to continue.
Elizabeth, I know that video is so jarring, but now that authorities have these charges upgraded as an adult, all the attention is trying to find that passenger in that vehicle to question him. He not only shot the video, but then disseminated it on social media.
That is so shocking. The age of those two kids and the fact that they would actually post that video. Unbelievable.
Then we have, of course, the situation that took place recently in Philadelphia. Let's watch this video together.
Now to the looting that erupted overnight at major retail stores in Philadelphia. Police say more than 100 juveniles were involved. Stephanie Ramos is there on the scene tracking the very latest. Good morning, Stephanie.
Michael, good morning. This Apple store behind me is just one of many stores ransacked by a massive group of juveniles last night here in Philadelphia. More than a dozen people were arrested.
Overnight, organized theft. Philadelphia police searching for more suspects after they say more than 100 juveniles stormed into retail stores across the city late Tuesday, looting stores including Foot Locker, Lululemon, and Apple.
You got a crowd about 15 now. They're going eastbound.
These were criminals. These were people that took advantage of an opportunity. Everybody in this city should be angry. Everybody that goes to these businesses should be angry.
Videos showing people running out with handfuls of stolen merchandise. Authorities swarming the scene, finding stores left completely gutted. Police confirming at least 15 people were arrested, and police say they recovered two firearms.
We made arrests, and we will continue to make arrests until we have all of the individuals or a number of the individuals that have been responsible for what we've seen in custody.
The looting came hours after a Philadelphia judge dismissed charges against former police officer Mark Dial in the shooting death of 27-year-old Eddie Irizarry. But police say the looting is not believed to be in connection to the outrage sparked by the judge's decision.
This had nothing to do with the protest. What we had tonight was a bunch of criminal opportunists take advantage of a situation.
Now, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, plans for this recent vandalism were an open secret on social media. Sounds like an oxymoron there, but the destruction was documented in videos throughout the night. We're going to talk about that in just a second as well. Now, why are we talking about this today? Because I think this is going to be the new normal. I think we're going to see this start spreading across cities in America, and they're not going to be able to stop this. And I'm telling you, if it doesn't get stopped, this is coming to you and I's front door. And I'll explain all this when we get to this video. The plans to break in and vandalize and steal from Philadelphia businesses on Tuesday night were not much of a secret. As word spread that a Philadelphia judge had dismissed all criminal charges against the former police officer who shot and killed the young man last month, again, they're trying to equate this as justification for this, but even as that police chief said, has no relation to that. People took to Instagram to share their anger and plan a response. So was this the response? So we're going to respond to this by looting. Okay. So does that explain all the other trips that they took in California, where they looted multiple outlets there? What was the excuse for that? Quote, what time we going shopping? One person asked. We looting or not? Another one said. I know they say tearing up our stuff ain't right, someone said, but that's the only way they hear us. So according to these individuals, now maybe we'll listen to them. By destroying the very companies and the very retails that, by the way, we're going to show you they're being forced to shut down. So what are they going to do? Listen to me, and this is where I'm going with this. What are they going to do when Nike outlets are not there anymore? Apple outlets are not there anymore. If they can't go to the retail and they're not there, what do you think they're going to do next? You don't think they're going to come to your front door? They don't think they're going to come to your neighborhood looking for you? Looking for your family? Before the night was even over, police said the groups had broken into businesses across Philadelphia, stealing, ransacking, and leaving destruction in their wake. Dozens of people, including what police described as a caravan of, quote, criminal opportunists, broke into stores along popular shopping corridors from Center City to the Northeast to West Philadelphia. According to authorities, they broke through metal door protectors, they spliced locks with bolt cutters, and then they looted the stores and fled with electronics, shoes, clothes, liquor, pharmaceuticals, and other goods. By that morning, 52 had been arrested, including three juveniles, according to police. Most were charged with burglary and theft. Prosecutors say one person faces charges of illegal gun possession. Police said most people arrested were between the ages of 18 and 22 years of age, and their identities, has not been released. Now, we do know among them as an apparent influencer that has somewhere around 700,000 followers on TikTok named Meatball. was also present that night that this took place this week. They were arrested while live streaming the entire rampage.
The social media influencer accused of instigating some of Tuesday night's looting was back at home today.
The woman, known as Meatball, was bailed out by her mom early this morning. NBC 10 investigative reporter Claudia Vargas caught up with her today. Claudia, what'd she have to say?
Well, Deja Blackwell, also known as Meatball, says she never wants to go back to jail. Blackwell is one of dozens of people arrested following Tuesday night's looting. She has garnered attention in the last 48 hours because of her social media live stream.
As chaos unfolded across the city, Deja Blackwell was live streaming much of it to her more than 180,000 followers.
What's that?
Posting in Center City and other parts of the city up until her arrest Tuesday evening. Police and the district attorney's office say Blackwell was encouraging others to engage in looting and other criminal activity. Blackwell was charged with burglary, conspiring, and rioting, among other felony charges. The 21-year-old was released on $25,000 bail early this morning. We went to Blackwell's home today after she agreed for us to meet her there. Our attempts to speak with her about her actions Tuesday night and what's happened since then were cut short by her mom. Blackwell's mom did not want her speaking with reporters, but the woman known as Meatball did have something to say before going back inside her home.
Do you have a message for people?
I just prefer, you know, never loot again, stay out of trouble, and never go to jail.
So you regret what happened?
I regret.
This individual, according to the report, shared video and photos on her Instagram stories, gleefully documenting the mass plunder of several businesses, including an Apple store, a Foot Locker, and other stores as well. The content creator, with close to 650,000 followers across Instagram and TikTok, could be seen laughing, clapping, and shouting, "Let's go!" as she witnessed suspected looters fleeing while she was driven across the city. Blackwell later continued filming the frenzy on foot, capturing her apparent enthusiasm. Quote, "Tell the police they're either going to lock me up tonight or it's going to get it, or it's going to get lit. It's going to be a movie," she said at one point in her videos, joining a crowd of youngsters loitering in the streets. A laughing Blackwell exclaimed at one point, quote, "This is what happens when we don't get justice in this city." At one point, there were several smartphones and iPads that were seen littered all over the ground and being stepped on by the looters. So guys, look at this. Here's some photos of this. These are images. These are for you guys that are listening by Apple and by Spotify. There's mannequins. They're just completely ripped apart. They took all the clothes off the mannequins. There's glass shredded everywhere, metal shredded everywhere, fragments of material, everything. The shelves ripped and bare empty here as well. There's other photos here. You could see them hoarding into the Apple store where they, again, busted the glass, went in, broke through barriers, throwing all kinds of the product on the ground, these iPads, these cell phones, whatever. Here's a picture of them right here breaking into a liquor store, this fine wine and good spirits. Here's another place here where the entire front end of the store was ripped apart. This is the aftermath of the next morning, as you can see here. This is just sad, guys. This is absolutely sad. Here's, again, this is outside of Philadelphia, where there is bags and bags of clothes just laid out and slung out all over the streets. Here's police here scouring through the situation. Here's some people being arrested. Again, you can see here's some perpetrators with masks on looting. There's clothes everywhere. So the direct consequence to this is forcing major companies to completely, we're talking about retail centers, to shut their doors completely. For example, here's an article from the U.S. Sun. Major retail CEOs are warning of, quote, dire shoplifting epidemic after $112 billion in losses are causing chains to take drastic measures. The report goes on to say that retail crime has hit an all-time high as stores report more than $112 billion in losses. And guys, do you actually think this is going to stop? It's not. And I believe, listen, I'm not saying all of these are, but I believe some of these are orchestrated. I believe some of these are absolutely orchestrated. It's manufactured. It's planned. And there's a purpose behind it. Now, I can't get into the details of that because we want to keep this program on the air. We want to keep it up. But you do your diligent homework on this, and you'll discover that there is wicked agendas that are going on behind scenes being inspired by principalities, powers, and evil darkness in high places. The rampant stealing has caused retailers to beef up security and turn to other drastic anti-theft measures in order to try to stop thieves. The 2023 National Retail Security Survey found that theft-related losses increased from $93.9 billion in 2021 to over $112 billion in 2022. It's going to be interesting to see what 2023 will hold. Retailers are seeing unprecedented levels of theft coupled with rampant crime in their stores, and the situation is only becoming more dire. And again, this was from the NRF Vice President for Asset Protection and Retail Operations, David Johnston. Far beyond the financial impact of these crimes, the violence and concerns over safety continue to be the priority for all retailers, regardless of size or category. Now look at the cities here. Los Angeles, San Francisco, Houston, New York, and Seattle were determined to be the top five locations that have been hit hardest by organized retail theft. All this has led to at least 28% of retailers reporting that they're having to close their stores in certain locations. Another 45% of retailers said that they are cutting the number of hours they're open in order to combat theft, while 30% reduced or altered their in-store product selection. I'm going to read this quote. Retailers are piloting and implementing a number of loss prevention practices to deter, prevent, and mitigate these substantial losses. This is according to Loss Prevention Research Council Director Reed Hayes. In addition to enhancing traditional security measures, many are also allocating resources to innovative emerging technologies for future prevention. Now, I can tell you some of these emerging technological advances. I can tell you what some of those are that they're putting in these big cities. They're using artificial intelligence. This, remember, we talked about this. They're putting those robots in the streets. They're putting those AI cameras and software and all of this in order to combat this stuff. Again, we're creating a beefed up totalitarian police state.
At least they're on our side right now, the so-called slaughter bots, robots trained to kill on the battlefield. We showed you the video back then in December. It seemed like something out of a movie for a battlefield. Well, San Francisco police might be using robots just like them very soon. Supervisors just gave city police the ability to use potentially lethal remote-controlled robots in emergency situations. The department could deploy robots equipped with explosive charges to contact, incapacitate, or disorient violent, armed, or dangerous suspects when lives are at stake. Okay, so how does this go? If you listen to the people from San Francisco, right, it's okay, this is humans controlling the robots. The robot can't do anything until you press the button, on and on. They did this in Dallas once, right? There was the guy who had shot, I think it was 5 or 6 police officers and killed them. He was holed up. You're not going to send police officers into a situation like that. They sent in a robot that basically just blew the guy to smithereens.
Right.
If that's not an extrajudicial killing, I don't know what is. And if San Francisco, of all places.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I want you to pay attention to something because this is going to unfold over the next few years. There's always a justification for the introduction of these technologies that seems reasonable at the time and even is reasonable. So where did SWAT teams come from, for example? SWAT teams came from the situation of a clock tower shooter. Remember when we used to talk about that, getting so mad you'd climb up on a clock tower? Well, there was these teams invented that could handle something like that, and police departments started to have them. But the thing is that most places don't have clock tower shooters, and most places don't have guys who are barricading themselves into everything but robot-proof enclosures where you've got to send some little bomb droid in there to go get them. But once you have this stuff, it's not just going to sit around, because not to put too fine a point on it, these officers and police departments want to use this stuff, right? Once they've already paid for it, they want to get some use out of it. And so it's not going to be restricted to whatever the justifying reason for the expenditure is. It'll be used whenever basically the department wants to. And there's very little public oversight. It's actually surprising that there's even public authorization in the first place for this, because usually what police departments do is they just do whatever they want. The only thing that has to be approved is their budget, and good luck cutting that, right? We know what happens if you're going to try that one.
You make a great point that all of a sudden now we're using SWAT teams for everything, right?
Drug warrants, right?
Less than that, it's all of a sudden there's an FBI team that arrested a guy who was a pastor who had been charged with nonviolently barricading an abortion clinic or something like that, and all of a sudden now here we go. To that end, though, where does the line get drawn? Is it then end up being up to the courts after the police use this to kill somebody?
Well, it's going to be very hard, right? Because courts are not in a good position to set forward-looking policies that govern police procedures. They're actually terrible at doing that. All the court can do is say that in this or that instance, under the Eighth Amendment, a killing by the police department was or wasn't a reasonable use of force. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And they defer to the police in a lot of circumstances. But what a court can't really do, at least not a federal court under the Fourth Amendment, is sort of take a look at the police's procedures and policies and say, well, does this make sense? Because part of the reason for that is a lot of times police departments have no written procedures. They don't have a manual or anything governing this. What they have are the practices of that police department. So what is there to review?
Of these retails, CVS has been hit hard. You know, like, this is where some of y'all get your prescriptions from, but you're going to have to come up with a plan B, because they've announced that they're closing 900 stores by the end of next year. That's 10% of all its facilities. They are shifting to move online. Why? Because of rampant increase in shoplifting. The major drugstore chain is reportedly coming to the end of a policy launched in 2021, which will see 300 stores closed each year, meaning 900 will have shuttered by the end of 2024. Now, I want to highlight this right here on your screen because this is important. More shoppers are turning to buying online in the wake of the pandemic, as well as rocketing levels of shoplifting affecting sales in stores. Guys, there it is. I've said this and I'll say it again. I'll give it maybe, I would be shocked if we go 3 years, maybe 2 years. 2 years, 3 years, I'm shocked if we go 3 years. We're going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to take your kids school shopping for clothes and go and be able to walk into a retail store, a department store, try on clothes, look at it, see if it fits right. Nope, you're not going to be able to do this because they won't exist. You're going to have to order everything online because this is where it's going. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, that's where I get my prescription drugs. What am I going to do? Well, let's just read this here. A spokesman said maintaining access to pharmacy services in the communities we serve is an important factor we consider when making store closure decisions. Quote, other factors include local market dynamics, population shifts, a community's store density, and ensuring there are other geographic access points to meet the needs of the community. In other words, translation, if you live in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Houston, New York, Seattle, Philadelphia, these locations, you're probably going to be saying goodbye to your CVS pharmacy. But of course, CVS is not the only major retail that is being forced to shut the doors on their stores. Target, they announced recently that they're going to close 9 stores across 4 states because of this very thing.
These kinds of smash-and-grab crimes have become all too common, forcing a growing number of retailers to try to combat the thefts. This morning, one of them, Target, is taking drastic action to reduce retail crime. The company announcing it'll shut down 9 stores by the end of October, 3 in both San Francisco and Portland, 2 in Seattle, and 1 in New York City. The company blaming the closures on theft and organized retail crime, threatening the safety of our team and guests.
This is crazy. They're locking up the toothpaste.
The move comes after videos from inside Target stores went viral, showing everyday items locked behind security glass, frustrating shoppers.
Since when did my local Target start locking everything up?
Those lock cases, just one of the ways the retailer says it tried to deal with shoplifting, saying despite our efforts, we continue to face fundamental challenges to operating these stores. Target is not alone. In 2021, Walgreens closed 5 locations in San Francisco over shoplifting fears. And while Walmart and Nordstrom have also closed some locations in major cities, neither blamed crime. Still, in a newly released survey conducted by the National Retail Federation, 88% of responding retailers said shoplifters have become more aggressive, and 28% say they had to close some locations due to crime.
Listen, if you live in any of these locations right here, I'm please don't get mad at Brother Ricky, but I got to ask you a sincere question. Why are you still living there? I mean, how good can life actually be there? Are you serious right now? Do you realize how many people are literally, there is a mass exodus trying to get out of these places? Why do you think Florida is being overpopulated with people coming from the north and the northeast and out west?
Troubling trend of businesses leaving San Francisco, raising concerns over the city's future. Research shows empty storefronts and abandoned office space are on the rise.
Sad to see, honestly.
Closed, empty, or planning to vacate, downtown San Francisco has put on a new face.
Huge streets, big sidewalks that are never really filled. It's not really that crowded anymore.
Real estate investment research shows office vacancy and available space in the city at 35% and growing. This week, 2 key Hilton hotels near Union Square dealt a big blow. Investment firm Park Hotels and Resorts announcing it's no longer making mortgage payments, citing business and city challenges.
These cities, they're overridden with homeless, overridden with poverty, overridden with lawlessness and theft and just absolute destruction. Speaking of destroying your city, let's talk about Gavin Newsom in California. Have you guys seen what he's fighting for? Which side of history he's on?
Well over 2,000 bills were introduced by California lawmakers this year, with more than 900 making it to the governor's desk.
Some of the bills, or early bills being signed, enhance the state's protections for LGBTQ plus people. And ABC 10's Garishpal Sangha is in studio. And Garishpal, you've been diving into a few of them that were signed and one bill that was vetoed.
Yeah, that is correct, Luke. And the new laws include legislation that focuses on the support for LGBTQ youth. But one bill has advocates disappointed in the governor.
After a busy legislative session, all eyes are on Governor Gavin Newsom as he decides which bill will get his signature. The first few batches signed, Newsom requires teachers to undergo an online one-hour training every year in how to support LGBTQ students. Another bill requires schools to have at least one gender-neutral bathroom for students in the next 3 years. And these bills came after the governor vetoed a different bill Friday, which would require judges to consider gender identity in custody and visitation cases for divorcing parents. Newsom describing why he vetoed it, saying a court under existing law is required to consider a child's health, safety, and welfare when determining the best interests of a child.
He also signed a law this week to protect physicians who mail abortion pills to other states. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new law on Wednesday that aims to stop other states from prosecuting doctors and pharmacists who mail abortion pills to patients in places where the procedure is banned. Wow. Unbelievable. So in other words, if you live in a state where they ban abortions, see how they're working around, they're getting around the Supreme Court. They're getting around the protections of the newborn babies that these the Supreme Court justices voted to protect. This is unbelievable. California already has a law protecting doctors who provide abortions from out-of-state judgments, but the law was designed to protect doctors who treat patients from other states who travel to California. The new law goes further, even further than that, by forbidding authorities from cooperating with out-of-state investigations into doctors who mail abortion pills to patients in other states. Wow. Something to be greatly proud of, Mr. Newsom. I'm sure God is just shining down on that. But this is not the only state. Other states, including New York, Massachusetts, have similar laws, but California's law also bars state-based social media companies like Facebook from complying with out-of-state subpoenas, warrants, or other requests for records to discover the identity of patients seeking abortion pills. So really, we're gonna put everything in the middle. We're going to put all of our chips in the middle and fight for this, to fight for our right for shedding of innocent blood. All right, guys, now we're going to bring this thing home. We're not going to spend a lot of time today on today's podcast. We're going to cut you short early today. We're going to have a great weekend. We'll be back here on Monday. We'll be back here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. But today we're going to keep this a little bit shorter. But I want to emphasize, listen, the reason why we come on here today and we talk about these points is, guys, again, we have to be aware. Again, we equip. And all week we've done equipping and teaching messages. Today, it's more information. We want to inform you of what's going on out there in the world. Because listen, you may not be in one of these major states, major cities rather, that's seeing this stuff unfold. Maybe you're in a place where it is, maybe you live in Mayberry and Andy Griffith's there and Aunt B's there with her great pies and everything is just dandy and it's great. But listen, there's people out there that they're seeing this unfold in their streets. They're seeing this unfold in their communities. So I am concerned. The longer the Lord tarries, we know, according to scripture, again, I'm going to go back to the word. We know that perilous times is here. We're in treacherous, dangerous times. We know that according to Matthew 24, that lawlessness is going to continue to abound. It's going to continue to get worse and it's going to wax worse. And because of it, the love of many is going to wax cold. Now, you say, well, where does this leave us as believers? We have a choice. We cannot allow that to impact us. We can't allow that to influence us. Now, I'm talking about spiritually wise. It's going to get darker out there, but we got to get brighter in here. Let me say that again. Although it's going to get darker out there, we're called to become brighter in here. Why? So that when we do step out there, we let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. But I'm going to listen. You better listen to me real carefully. We on a natural perspective, practically speaking, we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. I'm talking about you better be ready to defend your home. You better be ready to defend your house. Yes, if so, listen, I'm going to tell you. I told my wife and I talked about this the other night. We're going to be increasing the amount of times that we go to the gun range. We need to be prepared. Why? Because, listen, I believe in self-defense. So you can get mad at me. Well, I'm unfollowing you. I don't care. Unfollow me. But I guarantee you one thing. You come knocking on my door with that nonsense and think you're going to be taking something out of my house. Listen, if you get past the angel of the Lord that encamps around about my home and you get past the blood of Jesus and you get past some intercessory prayer, then we've got something waiting for you. Come on, can I get an amen? Maybe that's the southern come on, the southern hospitality coming out of me. Listen, we don't play around down here. That's why, listen, that country artist that got up there and said, try that in my town, and people lost their minds. Listen, he had a point. I'm just being honest with you. You could get away with that stuff, guys, in some of these cities, but you ain't going to get away with that in some of the places in other locations in America. I'm just saying, I'm not going to name by name, but I'm telling you, you try to pull that stuff in some little towns and some little places and some little cities that are not woke, and it's going to be bad news for you. Well, I thought you were a Christian, Brother Ricky. Oh, I am. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I love God, but I also am not going to sit back and allow my home to be ransacked, destroyed, and my kids threatened and my wife put in danger. Come on, come on, guys. You better give me an amen right here. So listen, we have got to practically prepare. We've got to spiritually prepare. We've got to be emotionally prepared. I'm telling you, you go out and you take a trip anywhere. You go to Walmart, you go to CVS, you go to Target, you go to anywhere outside of your home. You better be prayed up and filled with the Holy Ghost, because there is people out there that are full of demons. They're full of darkness. They're angry at the world. They have a chip on their shoulder. They're looking to hurt people. They're looking to harm people. And I'm telling you, you better be prayed up and full of the Holy Ghost. It's the world we live in. We are not in 1984 anymore. We're not in 1982. We're not in 1991 anymore. We're in 2023. We don't know what gender we are. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we came from. We don't know what we represent. The church is confused. Do we stand for this? Do we not stand for this? What about this? What about that? We, the entire society is an absolute house of cards that is crumbling before our eyes. And I'm going to listen. It reminds me of the parable that Jesus spoke about the man who built his house upon the rock. Listen, if your house is built upon the rock, which is the word of God, the winds and the storms and the trials is going to come. The winds of society are going to blow. All this nonsense is going to come sweeping through your town, through your home, coming at your front step, all this stuff. And the Bible says the man who built his house upon the rock shall stand. He's going to remain. But the man who built his house upon the sand is shifting. It's always moving. Sand is leveled by the water and the tides that come in, and it levels it out. I refuse to be moved by what the society calls normal. And it's absolutely sad that we're being so desensitized by this lawlessness and this foolishness and this looting and this ransacking and these violent crimes, that unfortunately we're becoming so desensitized to this that we don't even blink an eye to it. We see it on the news, you read it in a headline, you see it on your phone, you get an alert of it, and it doesn't even shock you. The shock factor has run off. It's wore off. Because it's a fact, the more you expose yourself to violent images, to violent content, to lawlessness, immorality, the more you expose yourself to this, that threshold begins to weaken and you become desensitized, and you'll begin to accept this as normal. It doesn't even move you anymore. It doesn't bother you anymore. How do you think we got to a point now where when someone is being brutally beaten in the street, common citizens and bystanders don't even come to the aid of the individual? Instead, they whip out their cell phones so that they can capture it on social media with the hopes and the intents to become social media famous. So don't tell me, don't email me and message me and send me a letter how that everything I'm saying here is not true, because it is absolutely true. We are in the days of Noah, where violence is covering the earth, and every intent of every man's heart was evil continually before the Lord. So I don't want to leave you with that hanging over. I don't want to leave the dark cloud. I want to give you a redemptive hope. Now, can we change the world? Maybe our proximity, but the world, no. The world is going to get darker. It's going to progressively get more evil. It's going to become more wicked. We know this according to scripture. We know this according to Bible prophecy. All this is leading up to the return of the Son of Man, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. We know that. But in your neck of the woods, your proximity, your neighborhood, your city, your household. We can change the atmosphere. We are thermostats. Let me explain that. A thermometer registers the temperature and the environment around it, but a thermostat, come on, controls the environment, and it dictates how hot or how cold the environment is based on what you set it. Come on. Just because I go into my workplace that's full of darkness doesn't mean I have to succumb and be a thermometer and just gauge the darkness. No, come on. If I get in my prayer closet before I ever step into my workplace, I can get, come on, in communion with the Holy Ghost. I can get prayed up, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the fire of God, go into that place and come on and set the standard, set the gauge, and set the environment, come on, with the power of the Holy Ghost. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is all of what you're seeing right here and what we're seeing is just an indicator. All the alarms and the bells and whistles are going off, guys. It's an indication that our nation needs a third great awakening. Now, whether or not we will see a third great awakening, I can only be hopeful. I can only pray and believe for it. But I do know this, the remedy for revival and awakening has never changed. Let me say that again. The remedy for revival and awakening has never changed. The blueprint and the very foundation of revival and awakening has always been 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you know where it starts? The church. You know where it starts? My people. God said, my people are the ones responsible. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. Come on, are you ready to humble yourself through prayer, through fasting? He says, if they will, and if they'll pray, and if they'll seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice that he says he equates wicked ways with his people. Well, I don't believe God's people can sin. Well, that's an absolute foolish thing to say and believe. Listen, don't even get me started. Next week, I'm going to give you about 6 examples in the Bible where God's people, born again believers, can be oppressed and influenced by demons. Now, people get all worked up and been out of shape about that, but I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to give you 6 examples that believers can absolutely be oppressed and influenced by demons. Yes, believers. I said it for the back row for the Reformed theologists that don't believe that. And for your denomination that teaches you a theology that absolutely will not agree with that. But listen, the Word of God, we're going to prove it to you once and for all. Now, I didn't say, before you get all bent out of shape and start throwing your emails and throwing your messages and throwing all your letters at me, I never said possessed. I said oppressed and influenced. So don't you twist my words. But I'm going to look in 2 Chronicles 7:14. God said, if my people, he didn't say if the people. He didn't say if the world, he didn't say if the sinners, he didn't say if the heathens would repent and humble themselves and turn from their sins and wicked ways. No, no, no. He said, if my people who bear the name of Christ will actually humble themselves and actually pray and actually seek his face, and actually turn from their sin and wicked ways. He said, if I can ever get the church to get back to holiness, get back to sanctification, get back to righteousness, get back to not living lukewarm, get back to getting off the fence, getting back to not being wishy-washy. If I can ever find a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, devil-stomping, blood bought church that is set apart, that loves not the world nor the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. If he can find that, he says, then he will hear from heaven forgive their sin. Listen, he will forgive. We can touch heaven to the point where he forgives their sin, and then he will hear our land. Well, I don't believe that, Brother Ricky. Okay, well, how about the paralytic man that couldn't even carry himself to a meeting that Jesus had? He was being carried on a mat. He got to a house where Jesus was preaching, and it was so packed, they couldn't even get him to the front door. They couldn't get him to the back door. They couldn't get him to a window. So his friends started ripping the roof off of the house so that they could lower him down into the house. The Pharisees saw it. Jesus had compassion on him and said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven of you." He says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven of you." And he says, and your Bible says, because of their faith, the man was healed of his infirmity. Not because of his faith. He said because of their faith. So don't tell me that God cannot use his people to stand in the gap and intercede for the people. Come on, Moses. God was about to destroy and wipe out the children of Israel, and Moses stood in the gap and said, if you're going to blot them out of the book, you're going to have to wipe me out too, God. Moses stood in the gap, and because Moses stood in the gap, God had mercy and compassion upon the children of Israel. Don't tell me that you and I cannot stand in the gap and intercede and pray and humble ourselves and turn from our sin and wicked ways, and God bring about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, shake your city in revival, and God willing, bring a third great awakening to the nation. Come on, somebody. Do I got anybody who believes with me today? So listen, I wanted to leave you with that redemptive hope today. There's always a hope, but we, guys, it's not going to, we're just not, listen, another conference ain't going to get it done. Another meeting ain't going to get it done. Another network's not going to get it done. Some good old Sunday morning preaching is not going to be enough. When are we going to learn this principle? God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Acts chapter 3, Peter says that refreshing is contingent upon repentance. Let me say that again. Refresh, you call it whatever you want. Revival, refreshing, awakening. We'll use all these terms. It is contingent upon repentance. In other words, translation, where there is no repentance, there'll be no refreshing. Where there's no refreshing, there'll be no revival. And where there be no revival, there'll never be no awakening. So here's my prayer today. Yes, it's getting darker out there. Yes, it's getting more wicked out there. Yes, the violence increasing. Yes, there's more looting going on. But friends, as it gets darker out there and people get more hungry, they shut down the retail centers. I'm telling you, they're going to come to your front door. We've got to be prepared practically. But come on, what can we do in the meantime? We can get on our face before God. We can begin to cry out in repentance and say, Lord, what can I do to start with me? Let it start with me. Even Jesus said, before you go and try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, first get the plank out of your own eye. Again, it always starts with me. It always starts with us. You cannot have revival in the city lest you have first revival in your church, but you can't have revival in your church lest you first have revival in your home. Come on, you have to have personal revival before you ever have corporate revival. So this is where we're going to pray right now. This is how we're going to pray. We're going to pray for personal revival. Because listen, I can't believe for corporate revival in a church level. And I can't believe for a revival to break out and spill out into the city and the streets of where I live unless they're my church, whatever that looks like, the four walls of a building, a house meeting, the gathering of the ecclesia. It cannot happen. All this stuff cannot happen. It cannot spill into the nation and become an awakening unless it starts with the spark and the fire of our own personal lives. So this is what we're going to pray today. I'm going to pray for a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost on us on a personal level. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that this word goes forth and it would not return void, but it will prosper in that which is sent forth. God, the answer to the solution today, the answer to the perilous times today, the answer to the iniquity today, and to the lawlessness, to the immorality. The answer is a fire-branded, uncompromising, sold-out, Holy Ghost-filled church and ecclesia, a gathering of believers who, Lord God, have humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God through prayer, through fasting, through intercession, who are repenting and turning from their sins, turning from their wicked ways. Lord, you said if we begin to do that, if we begin to put ourselves in a posture of repentance and humbling ourselves before you, Lord, you said as a direct result, as a direct consequence, you will open the windows of heaven. God, I'm reminded of Elijah the prophet. Lord, I'm reminded of in his day, there was no rain that fell upon the earth. But Lord, as he got into a fetal position, as he began to hit his knees in intercession, as he began to pray, Lord, as a direct result, God, the heavens began to open. We cannot expect anything to open from the heavens until there's something that takes place on the earth. Father, I pray that you challenge each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, including myself tonight. God, help us to keep praying, keep interceding, keep humbling ourselves. May we keep praying, keep fasting, keep a heart and a lifestyle of repentance, God. Lord, right now we repent of sin. We repent of iniquity. We repent of trespasses. We repent of our transgressions. We repent of all sins of omission and remission, God. Lord, we repent of lukewarmness. We repent of lukewarm living, a passive Christianity of just enough to get it done. Father, I pray that you would set a fresh fire in our hearts, a fresh devotional flame in our hearts, that we'd have a desire to seek your face like never before. God, that we would could be consumed in your word, consumed in your presence, consumed in praise, consumed in worship, consumed in the house of God, that this would become, Lord God, the thing in which we enthrone on our hearts is you, oh God. Lord, we repent for putting any idol above you on the throne. Lord, whether it's a pastime, whether it's entertainment, whether it's self-gratification, whether it's a substance, whatever it is, we repent of it and we tear it down today and we put Jesus Christ back on the throne room of our hearts. And we pray it today. Father God, I pray that we would see a mighty revival begin to come into our streets again. May it begin in our homes. May it spill into our streets. May it spill into our churches. May it spill into our communities. May it spill into our workforce. Lord, may it spill into all these places, God. May darkness not comprehend the light. But I pray, Lord, and I come into agreement with every brother and sister listening or watching under the sound of my voice. And we ask, Lord, if it be your will. And I believe it is, that we would see another great awakening that would turn cities upside down for the glory of God. Come on, Lord, one more time. We pray one more time. Lord, I based this upon Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30. You said you would continue to pour out your spirit upon all flesh and that sons and daughters would be included. Lord, you said in your word in Haggai, heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but the glory of the latter of the former house, Lord, will not be as great as the latter. The latter house shall be greater than the former. You said in James chapter 5, God, that the husbandman waits for the fresh, precious fruit of the earth, for the early and the latter rains. So we ask for the latter rain of the Holy Ghost to be poured out upon our nation. And we pray it and we believe it by faith in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's our landing page. Again, don't forget to get your free app today, available on Apple and Android stores. Just simply hit yes to push notifications and you are going to be good to go. And of course, guys, if this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, equipping, encouragement on a week-to-week basis, Please pray about becoming a monthly partner. We do not sell any product, no merchandise, no DVDs, no CDs. The messages are absolutely free. The app is free. All the subscription base is free. Everything is free. All we ask that is if this ministry blesses you, it feeds you, equips you. Again, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, pray about it and let the Lord and the Holy Spirit lead you to do what you feel led to do. You could do that easily, two different ways. Electronically, through the app is the easiest way to do that, or you can give online. You can give through PayPal, you can give through your credit card. You can do Venmo. You can do Cash App. These are electronic ways, or you can give by check or money order right there on the screen at P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia. That's going to be 306-55. As always, guys, thank you so much for taking the time out tonight to be a part of our broadcast. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button. It pushes our material out there on the algorithm on Rumble and YouTube and all these platforms. Again, we're going to sign off for this weekend. We will be back here in October. Next Monday, we will be right back here in the studio, same place, same time, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.